Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content.
Listener discretion is advised.
Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
Loveline starts now.
Here we are. It's Dr. Drew welcoming tonight Jenna Fischer, one of my very favorite guests on Loveline, one of the stars of the NBC show The Office, Thursday night, 9:30, again, NBC. Jenna, Pam Beasley.
Hello.
How are you?
I am so excited to be back.
Now, I'm hoping this comes out right. Aside from the fact that you do a great job in the show and you're insightful and smart and articulate, I love people that are surprises. And your character on the show is so different than you.
That's true.
It's fun. I like that. I like that. And so that's one of the reasons that you're one of my favorite guests. Now, you grew up in St. Louis, is that right?
St. Louis, Missouri. I did, yeah.
And how'd you happen out here?
Well, I always wanted to be an actress from the time I was a little girl.
Did you do college?
I did. I did. I didn't even want to go to college. I wanted to come out here right after high school, but my mom made me go to college. My parents did.
She's smart.
Very smart. Yes. So glad they made me do that.
Yes.
For so many reasons having to do with just not good to be 18 and in Hollywood. Really could get into some bad stuff.
Yes.
So I went to college and I was a pre-law history major.
What kind of history?
American, U.S. history. Mm-hmm. And
that was at what? Truman State.
Yeah. Truman State University. And I just always was trying out for the plays and doing the plays and wanted to be
Are there any sort of memorable appearances you had on stage at Truman State and people still talk about when you played MAME or whatever?
You know, no. In fact, you know, I couldn't get cast as a lead or in any of the main stage shows in college.
Interesting.
I wasn't one of those people. You know, I was always just like that sort of scrappy kid who was putting up our own shows on the side.
And look at this. You're starring in The Office and they're doing dinner theater in Wisconsin.
Isn't that crazy?
It's awesome.
I know. Yeah. Well, they were kind of theater snobs. Mm-hmm. Like they were all about theater and I always wanted to do film and television. And so I didn't quite fit in, but
how'd that all start? You were a kid in Missouri and St. Louis, and what the heck? Did you fall in love with some TV show, or you know, where'd that come from?
Oh gosh, you know, I don't know. I used to watch old movies. My mom loved musicals, and we would watch movie musicals like Gypsy and The Sound of Music, and you know, stuff like that.
Do you sing?
Not well,
but you sing.
I sing to myself.
Okay,
I sing, but not well, and not career making.
Right,
and yeah, and I was either doing one of two things. I was either like rescuing stray animals and bringing them home, or I was putting on plays in my garage.
Do you have siblings?
One, a younger sister.
What's she doing?
She's a third grade school teacher in Missouri.
In Missouri?
Mm-hmm.
So everyone's back in Missouri?
Everyone's back in Missouri.
Do you go back and visit all the time?
All the time.
And everyone, you're returning hero, or how's that work?
Oh, they're very supportive. You know, my husband is also from St. Louis, Missouri. We grew up 5 minutes apart from one another.
Did you meet in Missouri?
No, we never met.
Met out here?
Met out here in LA. And so when we go home, we see his parents and my parents.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah.
How do you sort of see LA now that you've sort of been indoctrinated out here?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've been here 10 years
now. You like
it? I love it. I love Los Angeles.
It's kind of, isn't that funny for Midwesterners, or at least like that deep Midwestern stuff doesn't usually do well out here.
You know, LA is a lot like a big St. Louis, because St. Louis is one of those cities where the downtown, sort of like downtown Los Angeles, is not really like the hub of the city. It's really like a bunch of suburbs that are all linked to one another.
But you got that Union Station.
We got Union Station. We got the Arch, that popular landmark.
Nice. And now you just finished writing and directing a feature film, Lolly Love.
Lolly Love.
Is that coming out wide release?
It's coming out on DVD
on
March
7th. And you're in it too,
right? I star in it with my real life husband, and we play ourselves.
Is that weird?
Yeah.
You play yourselves?
Yeah, it was both great and really bad for my marriage to star in a film with my husband. 5 years.
Uh-oh.
At the time, though, I mean, this movie took us about 3 years to complete, so we started working on it almost right after we got married. Yeah.
And you were the director.
And I was the director.
That's the bad idea, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, that's the bad idea when you're married to my husband, who is a film director and writer.
Oh, my God.
So this was sort of like a little bit of a status shift for him.
Has the equilibrium sort of been reestablished in the relationship?
Yes, because after that, he directed a horror film that I had a role in, and that went splendidly.
What was that?
Slither.
Is that coming out?
That comes out March 31st.
Wide release again?
Wide release, Universal Pictures.
Slither.
Yeah.
What's it about?
It is about an alien plague that comes down from outer space. And
You're all Scientologist?
No.
No, okay. Wait.
It's not. It's in no way a Scientologist film.
Okay.
An alien plague comes down from outer space and it infects a man, sort of like sort of like the blob, you know, that mm-hmm. thing comes down and gets infects a guy. Yeah, that's exactly what it's like. And I play a police dispatcher in this small town, and all of the police officers leave and go investigate this occurrence.
Are you Pam Beasley again? Is that what this is?
Kind of like Pam Beasley, yeah. Sort of like, you know, a hick version of Pam Beasley.
Now, Jenna is, you absolutely know who she is on The Office. Office is probably the funniest show on television right now. Everyone that watches it literally laughs out loud. Now, and I never knew your name on that show. You know, the Pam Beasley name is not something I'm yeah. hearing. Do they call you by your name much on the show?
They call me Pam.
Pam.
Pam a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure everyone refers to one another by their names in the show, but it just goes, it's so matter of fact because it's like the way people converse in an office, it doesn't really.
Yeah, people say more, you're the secretary. You're the receptionist.
And everyone, they're not. They just don't know each other so well that they're not really calling each other by the names. You know what I mean?
In a lot of like traditional sitcoms, you'll notice that people always start sentences constantly, right. Every third sentence saying the person's name.
Yes.
Like nobody talks like that.
Right.
You know, hey, Steve, could you go to the market? Like I don't.
Archie.
Yeah, all the time. So on our show, we'd speak a little bit more like realistic.
Think about it. Every time they start with Archie or Edith.
Yeah, exactly.
Every single time. All right, let's take a call. This is Nick, 19-year-old, with Jenna Fisher. The phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. Nick, what's up?
Adam.
Corolla. What's up, Nick? Well done.
I actually had a question about HPV. I remember you guys were talking about like how with women it kind of dies away after like 5 years.
No, what I said was that there are versions of the virus that causes wart or HPV that can go away after 2 to 5 years, and it's both in men and women. But the one that sticks around and for which the virus or rather the warts keep recurring, that's the one that tends to be associated with the cervical cancer. We also think it's the one that's going to be associated with anal cancer and things like that. But it's a big issue for women whether or not you've got the one that sticks or not.
Okay. Well, because I was just wondering, because I remember you were talking about how the ones that with cervic cancer tend to cause the not dying part.
Right, the one that stays around. And there will be a vaccine out like within, I think it's going to come within the year.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
I'm talking about genital warts.
Oh, okay.
Okay, ready?
You had
Do you know now what I'm talking about?
Now I got it.
So, and it's caused by human papillomavirus or HPV.
HPV.
And there's going to be a vaccine for that. And that's going to take this thing that affects about 50% of young people.
50% of young people.
And it is the cause of cervical cancer, certain of these viruses. And so it's going to take that away. It's going to be sort of marketed as the cervical cancer vaccine, even though in reality it's the HPV vaccine.
Wow.
Cool, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk to Mark, 16. Mark, you're on with Jenna Fisher.
Hi. I just have a question for you.
Yeah.
All right. So I was, like, having sex with my girlfriend.
Good times?
Yeah. And I think I might have peed in her.
Hmm.
Is that possible?
As Jenna would say. Mark, you don't strike me as a non-virgin. And so I wonder if this is a made-up question. You know the universal law of bogosity. I'll answer the question, but just massage my sensibilities a little bit here.
Uh-huh.
Virgin, yes or no?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. What are you talking about? What do you mean you peed? What do you mean you think you peed?
Well, I was like kind of, you know, not erect.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just didn't feel like.
How did you get inside if you weren't erect?
I was like semi, you know, I was kind of embarrassed with my girlfriend.
See, Mark, this is bogus. There you go. Good night, Mark.
Wow, you're good.
Yeah, I am good. And so the fact is it's very hard for men to urinate when they have an erection.
That seems physically impossible.
It's not physically impossible. Some guys can kind of pull it off.
But during sex?
Very unlikely.
Right.
Very unlikely. And by the way, if you did that, you would know it.
I would think so.
Oh, my God. It'd be like so difficult. You'd be pushing urine out. Jake, 19, what's up?
I had a question.
And by the way, hang on a second. We got to dismark a little bit for violating the international law of bogosity. The law is, the international convention is, if I call you out, you just admit it. I'll answer your questions. It's all right. All right, Jake, what's happening?
All right. I used to be really overweight.
How much did you weigh?
Around 315 pounds.
Wow, at night. And you were how old that time?
I was, well, it was kind of all through childhood from like.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I'm 19 now, and I'm down to 150 pounds.
That's
Whoa.
Great. Wow.
Yeah.
How did you lose all the weight?
Just diet and exercise, really.
Seriously?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
That's good.
How tall are you?
I'm only like 5'10".
150 pounds, 5'10", you're skinny.
Well, now I am, but that's the problem. Like, I got all this loose skin and stuff. Like,
I bet. Jake, there are plastic surgeries for that. In fact, you know, these days with all the gastric bypass procedures, the plastic surgeons are very used to taking these procedures where they take off large parts, swaths of skin that are sort of hanging, and it looks pretty good. They do a good job with that. So if I were you and you have the resources, I'd suggest you look into that.
How long have you kept the weight off?
Right now it's been around close to 2 years.
How do you do it?
How do I keep it off?
Yeah.
I don't eat nothing fattening. I mean, it's been like 2 years since I've had anything sweet or fat.
Do you think you have an eating disorder? Do you starve yourself?
No. Well, I throw up sometimes.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's not so good, huh?
Probably not.
Yeah. How often do you do that?
I'd say it's only once in a great while. Like, if I have a real bad day, I'll kind of...
Well, I'll fill in the blank here. You had a period where this was a more active problem, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Same good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, my biggest concern, though, like, I mean, I can get girlfriends now, which, you know, as...
That's cool,
as
right?
First, you know, from what I used to be able to, but I'm, like, so ashamed of my body that I can't really take my shirt off or anything.
Jake, well, there's a bunch of issues here. Part of your body image problem, I guarantee you, is not just your body, which indeed may need a little bit of work and you ought to take advantage of that. But the fact that you had bulimia suggests that there's going to probably be some body image component to this. So I would also, when you go to consult with a plastic surgeon, ask for maybe a behavior specialist with eating disorders background so you can make sure this isn't something that spirals out of control. I think the overeating and the bulimia were really part of the same syndrome. And let me ask one. I definitely got a trauma feel from Jake. Were you like physically abused growing up or something?
No, but when I was like 9 years old, me and my brother were walking through a ditch and this old guy passed out at the wheel and drove through it and it killed him instantly.
Okay. All right,
oh,
buddy.
I'm so sorry.
Buddy, man, that sounds like where a lot of this stuff, these kinds of things are still percolating around in your emotional systems. And well, it's a horrible thing, but it's time to, listen, certainly your brother would want you to move on from this. And let's time to take care of all that. You've taken care of the body, you're dealing with your health, you're going to do with the body image. Let's get it going here. From the sublime to the ridiculous, here's Joanna, 22. You're on with Jenna Fisher, Joanna.
Hi, Joe.
What's up?
Hi, Joanna.
okay, well, my question is, I fart sometimes whenever I orgasm, and I'm just wondering if that's normal and if you can prevent it.
Wow. I don't know. I don't have that problem, but it doesn't seem awful.
It is awful. It's really embarrassing.
Well, at least you have orgasm. That's what Jenna means.
Yeah, but
that's
like,
true.
To avoid that, because it gives that like weird pause after it happens, and you're just like, oh my god.
Well, do you have a boyfriend?
I do, but like before, like he's kind of okay with it. He never really bitches or anything. I'm really sorry that I just said that. But yeah.
Hey, Joanna, I bet he's more than just okay with it. Because, again, guys are not silent about things that bug them. And in this domain, they're fine. He's happy you're having an orgasm, I'm sure of it.
He's happy that you're having sex with him, and he's happy that you're having an orgasm. So your little toot at the end is really not a problem, I'm sure of it.
It might be a little more than that. You don't know. But even so, he's okay with it.
Yeah, but, okay, the thing about my boyfriend is he's leaving soon because he's in the Marines.
Uh-huh.
And, so we're planning on, like, not staying together because it's just smart.
Right.
We're both young. And so, like, of course, I'm going to be, like, with other people soon. And I want to know if I can avoid this at all.
Like, no. Yes. Well, it's not routine in that everybody doesn't experience this, but it's not pathological. It's not abnormal. Okay?
but it does happen.
But Joanna, you got it. You got two people here saying, please trust us. Guys are fine with this.
Yeah, they're fine with it. And, you know, it's just going to be like a little embarrassing the first time that it happens and you're going to have to explain it. But
prepare them. By the way, guys are into this stuff. They've been watching Three Stooges since they were 3 years old. They think this is the greatest thing. I know to you it's maybe a little bit on the disgusting scale. For them, way up on the laugh scale. Way up.
Yeah, and you sound adorable, so I don't think you're going to have a problem.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
All right. Good luck.
Okay.
Have a good day.
Right, they're worse problems, right?
Definitely worse problems.
Jake had a worse problem.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, this is Steve, 17.
Hi. My girlfriend became pregnant, last week. Mm. And this is during, around winter break, and she had a plan for when we go back to school, her friends were to jump her so she'd have a miscarriage.
What does that mean? What
they were going to, beat her up?
Yeah. So she could, purposely have a miscarriage. And that was yesterday. And we haven't really talked about it, but I want to know if it's possible she really could have a miscarriage because of that.
Did they jump her?
Yeah.
Did she have a miscarriage?
Well, I mean, that's what I want to know, if it's possible, that early.
Yeah, she would have had it already. Yes, it's possible. But that's not a way to cause a miscarriage.
Yeah, that's what I told her, but
she didn't. So she got beat up? You can understand my confusion, Steve.
Yeah, she already did.
If she wants to have an abortion, why doesn't she get an abortion?
Because, I don't know, she's scared of needles and everything. So
there's so many risks to getting beat up, though, that it doesn't... I mean, the internal bleeding of other organs and deeper problems.
Abortions are safe.
Yeah.
Beatings are not.
Yeah.
So you haven't talked to her since she got beat up?
I talked to her, but we were going through some other problems, but I haven't talked to her about that yet.
What's the other problem?
That's relationship problems.
Steve, I'm getting angry with you. I got to tell you, you're the situation is inexcusable, wrong. Let's step up a little bit here. You're not a complete passive passenger in all this. Step up. And have her make a decision. She's within her rights to do whatever she pleases with this pregnancy based on current law. Go take care of it. Get her to Planned Parenthood. Do something reasonable with this. This is ridiculous. How dare you just sit there and go, oh, I can't, what am I going to do? Did you think there's something wrong with this? I'm angry, Steve. Cut it out. Get her to Planned Parenthood. Get her some counseling. This is an egregious, this is a horrible situation. Stop it. Let's go. Michael, 20.
Hi, Dr. Drew. I love your show.
Thanks, Michael. What's happening? You're on with Jenna Fisher. 1-800-LOVE-191.
How you doing?
We're good.
Good.
I'm on with Jenna Fisher, so I'm happy. It's good. She's one of our best guests.
My question was, I've been feeling bisexual ever since I was about
10. And she starts work at 5 in the morning, and in spite of that, gets her ass out here at night and comes on Loveline to talk to you guys. So I hope you appreciate what she's doing.
That's true.
I appreciate it a lot.
Oh, thank you.
Sound very enthusiastic, Michael. Well done. Resounding endorsement.
So you were saying that you've been feeling bisexual since you were how old?
About 13, 14.
Okay.
And you've been feeling bisexual or gay?
See, that's another question. That's just like a three-part question.
All right, give me part two. I'm uninterested in part one so far.
The thing is that I think that guys are cute. I like guys that wear suits and stuff like that, but I love having sex with girls. I completely like girls. I think girls are hot, but I also think guys are hot. So I think I'm bisexual. So the thing is, my best friend that I've known for 6 years that I grew up with, he actually is I have a thing for him now.
Does he have a thing for you?
I don't know. That's the thing.
Is he gay?
No, he's not. He doesn't. Okay. He won't say it, and I won't say it. So it's I don't know how I'll go about asking or going into that conversation about, because I've known him 6 years, and I don't want to lose his friendship.
Does he talk about girls?
A lot. But when it's just me and him alone in the room, then he gives me signs that I think he is, and he asks
like what?
How I am. What's that?
What are his signs?
Like, he sits next to me, and he, and the way he smiles and the way he looks at me, he, seems like he's interested in the same thing I'm interested in.
Hmm. All right, what's your third question?
I don't know if I should make a move or not.
What is the third question?
I think that was it.
All right. Jenna?
Well, I'm being totally serious when I say this. I'm not making a joke. Have you considered going to see the movie Brokeback Mountain with him? Like, just as a conversation starter.
I'll mention things to him, there's these skate shoes that I like that are pink and black, and I told him that I'd buy those and wear those, and he's like, well, you're gay. You know what I mean? He won't say you're gay, but he says that, like...
He's negative when he says that.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I wouldn't wear that, or this and that.
I like Jenna's idea. I think it's a great sort of icebreaker, and you can kind of take his pulse that way and see how he reacts to that material.
Yeah.
And if he reacts negatively, accept it. He's not gay. I think, Michael, you are gay. I don't think you're bi. I really don't. I think you're gonna declare a major soon, and I think you're sort of falling in love with this guy. And do you ever fall in love with women?
Yes, I did.
You do?
And I have. I had a fiance, and it just didn't work out. We argued every day, and I got sick of it. And we just.
So let me ask the usual question: Do you come from a chaotic family?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Were your parents addicts?
I've been in counseling for 4 years. I've had anger management for 2 years.
Oh, were you sexually abused growing up?
No, not at all.
Were you physically abused?
Yes.
All right. And so was it dad that did all the abuse?
Yes.
Okay. So that can kind of screw with your feelings a little bit.
A lot of my mom too. They were like both
violent. All right. Well, that's a lot to deal with. I'm glad you're in counseling. It's natural that when you come through an experience like that, that your identity, sexual and otherwise, can be kind of scrambled. And you're not quite sure what you are. It feels like, just talking to you for a few minutes, Michael, that you're trying to saying bye-bye to heterosexual. I think that's the bye part, just bye-bye, and sort of more towards gay. But I don't think that your best friend is where this is all going to happen.
Yeah.
But I agree with your advice. I think it's good advice. Well, that's a great idea.
Take his temperature. See how he responds to that movie.
The movie, yeah.
Yeah.
So, mostly we have these kids calling, they're 15. I want to tell my parents I'm gay. Like, what? No, there's something wrong with that impulse at 15, 15. We've got to take a break again. Jenna Fisher from The Office, you know her as Pam or Pam Beasley. She also is coming out in the movie Lolly Love next week, did you say? Next month?
March 7th.
Next month?
Yes.
Or March, in March.
March.
And also Slither.
Yep, March 31st.
That's also in March.
Yeah, both in March. Okay, big March.
Somehow I was hearing February when you said that last. And she's one of our best guests here, so call in for her. It's 1-800-LOVE-191. It's Dr. Drew. We'll be right back.
Loveline. How do you want me to say it?
Loveline will be right back.
Loveline will be right back.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. The phone number here, 1-800-LOVE-191. Jenna Fisher with us tonight. She's on The Office, NBC, 9:30, Thursdays. If you haven't seen this show, I suggest you do. I really do. It's the kind of show where you're sitting there, and all of a sudden you just burst out. You're hurting. You're laughing so hard. Here is Jim, 17.
Hello?
Hey, Jim, what's happening? You're on with Jenna Fisher.
Hi, Jim.
Hi. Kind of nervous. My question is about I'm attracted to younger females, and I want to know where this comes from and where.
How young?
Like 10 to 13.
Were you sexually abused yourself or beaten or anything?
I'm not really sure. I can't remember.
Okay. Well, let's assume that's what happened, because not to be able to remember what happened when you're 10 is not really normal.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just understand that basically what happens is that you sort of get arrested at that stage of development, and those are the things you're attracted to. Jenna, the extraordinary thing about the human being is, and I say this almost every night now, things that are traumatizing in childhood, and by childhood I mean really up into your mid-adolescence, become sources of immense attraction in adulthood. So if you were sexually abused by your dad, you seek and are incredibly attracted to that kind of person. If you have an abusive alcoholic dad who traumatizes you growing up, that's the guy you choose, even though that
so interesting.
And even though it may not even look like that guy, magically he turns into that guy. It's like we can tune in specifically to the qualities that end up precisely in the same place. I don't know why God set it up that way.
Wow.
But that's how we are as humans. And in fact, when you wonder why you keep making the same choices, Jenna, you specifically, why you keep making the same choices, why you keep making the same mistakes, look at your past and those things that were horrifying and unpleasant and things that you swore you'd never want to be around again. Magically, as an adult, it's overwhelmingly attractive. And I don't mean attractive in the sense that, oh, I'd like to be with that abusive a-hole again. No, you just see that person, and that's the person you have to be with, and magically he becomes the prick that was your dad or whatever.
Wow,
How do you undo that?
Yeah, how do you undo it?
Well, that's therapy, but I think, you know, not everyone can afford that kind of thing. I mean, 12-step, all that will undo it too, but ultimately, I think you got to be able to be realistic about what you've been through.
Mm-hmm.
And if you find that you know you've had a traumatic past and you keep getting attracted to bad people, Don't go out with people you're super, super attracted to. but I don't mean don't go out with people that you're not attracted to. I mean
right.
the really, really compelling stuff. You need a little more balance.
Right.
You can be miserable with this super attractive thing that's attracted to you all the rest of your life, or you can be with somebody that's satisfying you are also attracted to, where there's sort of a give and take and a play and
right.
a possibility of health and balance. It's hard. It's hard. This is Wes, 18. What's up? You're on with Jenna Fisher.
Hello, Jenna.
Hello.
Yeah, I have a question for you. Since you're in movies and stuff, I was wondering how to go about being a stuntman.
Hang on, Wes. And also for Jim, who's had the attraction to the younger children, please, dear God, get some help with this before you hurt somebody
yes.
or you end up in jail yourself. This is a treatable condition. Generally, you want to look for somebody that's certified through the sexual addiction field because it's really sort of conceptualized as sexual addiction, sexual compulsion. How do you be a stuntman, Wes?
Yes.
Well, Jenna knows everything about that. You've done tons of stunts. Normally, she's a dispatcher at the desk, or she sits behind a desk as a receptionist on TV. But when she's not doing that, it's just fear factor for you, right?
Yeah, always. I wish that I could answer this question. I think there's like a stuntman's union, or there must be ways that you can go on the web and figure this out. But I really, really don't know. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
Very satisfying. Thanks.
So sorry.
Jenna's from St. Louis. What do you expect? So what was your upbringing like?
My mother's a teacher.
What'd she teach?
She teaches 8th grade history.
Was she your 8th grade teacher?
No, she wasn't. I attended public school when I was younger.
She a private school teacher?
Yeah, she teaches Catholic school. And I went to a Catholic high school, but I went to public school through 8th grade. And she was not my teacher.
Uh-huh.
I think a good thing
yes,
that she wasn't my
I would
teacher.
Think so.
Yeah. And my dad's an engineer. And
what does he work for?
He works now for Silgan Plastics.
Fascinating. But
growing up, he worked for Boise Cascade.
Oh, nice.
Yes. And
what kind of engineering?
Plastics engineering.
He's a chemical engineer.
No, he designs bottles and containers. And in fact, you know when you buy like biscuits, like Pillsbury biscuits and like that cardboard thing?
The Poppin' Fresh
Yeah,
thing?
And they like pop open.
That's
My
not
dad
his.
Helped to design that
wow.
with his company, yeah.
That's...
Isn't that exciting?
That is exciting.
And so as a kid, we had tons of those biscuits around the house because I think we had like
what did you
the
ask
failed
you?
Containers.
Smack that stuff on the kitchen
yeah,
table.
Yeah. Isn't that great?
That's awesome.
And Coca-Cola commissioned his company to make a plastic can. And it didn't go.
Hang on a second. Those are two words that are
yeah.
oxymorons.
Right. The aluminum can, right?
Yeah.
But it was basically in the shape
of
a can but it was
it.
Plastic.
Interesting.
And they did not end up ever producing this, but we have one at the house. We
That's
have
cool.
a plastic can of Coke. These are like the little oddities around our house, like sort of his workshop.
And then Jenna becomes the actress through all that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was crazy. I had this mom who...
Watched musicals
and sang Barry Manilow in the...
Did she want to be an actress when she was growing up?
You know, I think she did. I think she would have loved to have been an actress, but she felt like she had a calling to be a teacher.
Huh.
And that's what she still
her
feels.
Her mom forced her to do it.
She was meant to do.
Her mom forced her
Well,
to
her
do.
Parents told her that they wouldn't pay for... Well, her parents wouldn't pay for her to go to school to become a teacher either. She had to pay her own way. They would only pay for her if she would
but
become a
nurse.
But
they completely disown her if she became a actress.
Probably.
A singer.
But, I mean, she met my father when she was in high school, and they married shortly after
Where are they
that.
From?
St. Louis.
Wow.
Yeah.
So extended family's from St. Louis.
Everyone's in St. Louis.
From way, way back?
Yeah, going pretty far back. Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Any interesting stories for us about your upbringing? Any problems? Any interesting drama? Any weird relationships?
No, but it was, even in subtle ways, the idea that I have been attracted to, you know, those men that would remind me of sort of the craziness of my childhood was an interesting thought.
Okay, now tell me about that. What was the craziness? What was the craziness? So far, you painted this beautiful picture of a Midwestern family.
Yeah, idyllic family. No problems at all, of course.
Did somebody drink or?
No. No drinking. No drinking. But
or just the usual, I blame my parents for everything kind of stuff.
No, not even that. You know, it's weird. When I went away to college, I came home and... people were like bickering and like yelling at each other all the time.
People.
And I like my parents yeah. and my sister, like, and I would come home and then I would sort of like have that dynamic. And I thought, when did this start?
You weren't aware of it when you were living.
No. It never occurred to me that our way of communicating was by like a lot of sort of, what not self-deprecating humor because it's not about you, but sort of like,
teasing. Yeah.
And
teasing is actually a pretty negative way to communicate.
Yes, absolutely, right? Yeah. You know, a lot of teasing and a lot of you know, just a lot of flying off the handle over trivial things. And so when I moved away and went to college and actually lived on my own at 17, because I went to school a little early, and so I had like my own apartment when I was pretty young, and it was great. And so when I came home, I was like, I can't, it's just kind of chaotic.
So the negativity.
Yeah, yeah. And so, but then definitely like always attracted to like the just temperamental kind of fiery, gregarious sort of man.
And so your husband was different than that.
No, totally like that.
until you tried to direct him in a film, and then here we are.
Exactly.
Right? Fantastic. Here is a Trinity 19. Trinity, what's going on? You're on with Jenna Fisher.
Hi.
Hello.
I have this really weird fetish.
Hang on, Trinity, before you tell us about that. But you know, that still with that attraction, provided the traumas weren't too bad and the pathology's not too bad, it can still work.
Oh.
You know what I mean? It's still a source of renewal and things. People, is that in-between sort of stuff where people are not horribly traumatized, but they have some stuff going on in their family, they find somebody they're attracted to. It's not perfectly healthy.
Right.
But it's renewing. It somehow it works.
I think my husband and I have an awareness about ourselves and about each other and why we were attracted to each other. And I sort of see our marriage as an opportunity to kind of like make adult choices and kind of try to control those like impulses that are based on those childhood things.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. But yet the childhood stuff still operates there as a source of attraction and renewal and really passion, too.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
Yeah, but you have to process it all the time.
Yeah, and it's hard, and it takes effort.
Okay. All right, Trinity, what's that fetish?
I'm addicted to blood.
Perfectly natural, perfectly normal, I mean.
But I don't know why.
Are you cutting yourself?
Well, I used to when, 2 years ago, I used to.
And how are you getting the blood now?
My boyfriend will cut, his shoulder or something.
And you what, suck on it or something?
Yeah.
We're completely creeped out now.
Is this part of, your foreplay? Or part of the, sexual play? Or is this just,
I don't do it, all the time. Sometimes I'll just, crave it or whatever.
But it has nothing to do with you don't get sexually aroused.
No.
It's totally separate. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that true? Because you called it a fetish.
Well, it doesn't turn me on or anything. I mean, I just...
Are you able to be sexual? Does anything turn you on? Okay.
Our sexual relationship is fine.
Uh-huh.
I just... Yeah.
Well... This is not an area I know a lot about. Certainly, it's not what you call healthy or normal. My experience with this, people that are really sort of going down this path, usually have a pretty heavy trauma history, whether it's physical or sexual abuse, abandonment, neglect, all that stuff can kind of set this up. What's your story?
I was abused for 8 years by my mom's ex-husband.
Beautiful. Yeah. Is he rotting in hell now, or is he still out?
No, he will, he's the father of my two brothers and my sister.
Oh.
Mm. And when my mom and him were married, it was me and my older brother, but he's younger than me. It was, but I got the worst out of it, I guess, because I wasn't his kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm bipolar, and I've been to a lot of different therapists and stuff. I quit cutting. I don't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And
good.
I'm just I'm trying to get over everything in the past.
Are you any addiction history?
No.
Okay. Well, best we can do. I mean, Trinity, obviously this is a reflection of all that heavy, heavy trauma. And I would certainly urge you to focus that in the right areas, not on, destroying your boyfriend's shoulder. If you're mad at the dad, why don't you, file charges, set boundaries, get these people out of your life, stay in your treatment, take your meds, and keep growing through this. This is not something, when you've been through this kind of trauma, it's literally like as if you've been through a meat grinder in a war or something, and then you want to be well instantly. It takes time. It takes time. Yuck. This is Corey 25. I blame you, Jenna. This is heavy call night. It's your fault.
I'm attracting heavy calls.
Hey, Corey, what's going on?
Not much. How are you?
We're good.
Good.
Good. I had a question. I had a vasectomy done in November.
Mm-hmm.
and it didn't go quite right.
Yeah, and?
They couldn't find the tube on the right side.
Okay.
And the doctor was talking about doing like a, I guess it'd be like a hernia operation type thing.
Right.
Where, you know, he'd go in and get the tube that way, but I'd be off work for like 3 weeks or so.
Right.
And my wife doesn't want me to go back in and have it done.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay. What's the importance? Why is it so vital that you have this vasectomy done?
We just don't want any more kids. I've never went back in and been retested. I mean, they had trouble finding when my dad had it done. They had trouble finding his.
There are anomalous anatomical qualities in some people, and if they can't find the tubes, they didn't find them. So they didn't do the vasectomy. So if you're going to have the vasectomy, it's going to have to be open, and they're going to have to go in there and really dig around. So there
painful.
You go. You want to go for a break? Is Anderson in there tonight? Oh, can you hear me okay? Yes, it sure does. It doesn't sound right to me at all. I had a mic accident here where the mic actually fell, just again, dropped off the stand. So hold on one second here.
We're just doing a little mic maneuvering here.
Is this thing on? No, okay. Hold on one second.
We're almost there.
There we go. That's much better. Much better. Oh, my goodness. Jenna Fisher in here tonight. Office 9:30, NBC, Thursdays. Be sure to check it out. She plays the cute plain Jane behind the desk.
Correct.
Who is nothing like the Jenna Fisher I know. So we'll be right back after this.
Yeah, Love Line.
Love Line will be right back.
It's Love Line, 1-800-LOVE-191. Jenna and I just had a moment. I think we solved all of the male-female conflict for all humanity. Just did
profound.
It. Just did it. We can't share it with you. It's a secret. Jenna Fisher, NBC, The Office, Thursday, 9:30. Again, NBC. Let's see what we got here. Here's a girl who's a little bit obsessed. Her name is Renee, and she's 16. Renee,
hello,
what's
Renee.
Up?
Hi. I'm 16, you know, and I've had sex with, like, 16 or 17 different guys.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And that's all I think about. Like,
is having sex?
You know how they say guys are really bad about it? it's nonstop. If I see a guy, I think, you know, I start thinking, would I have sex with him or wouldn't I? Even if it's a guy that I would never even, you know, like, I wouldn't.
And what is it about the sexual experience that you find so appealing?
I like to be dominating a lot. I like that. I like how it feels. You know, I like pain with it, and I don't know. And I like feeling like cared about. You know, I guess.
Okay. And when guys thinking about that, that's not what they're thinking about. Okay, they're thinking about what it's going to look like. They're thinking about sort of the feeling and experience to orgasm. That's where they're going. They feel they have to do it to release, and that's it. You're having a different experience. You're having sort of a, you know, you have all these psychological issues that you're sort of acting out through that. So what happened to you that set this all up? Were you abused in some way?
I didn't have the best childhood.
What happened?
My dad is really, he's been physically abusive, but it's
okay, so physical abuse, mental abuse. What else? Where's your mom been?
She, they're divorced. Like, they did live together, but when that happened, she tried to stay away. Like, she tried to just ignore it. Like, it's not there.
How'd you feel about that?
Mad.
Yeah, so mom didn't protect you from the physically, mentally abusive dad.
Yeah.
Now, what happens when that happens to young women is they often become victims of sexual abuse of other predators. So how old were you when you started having sex?
12.
Okay, so you were sexually abused at 12. How old was the guy, 19?
No.
How old?
He was 19.
19. Jenna?
Wow.
Hmm? Good, right?
Wow.
Okay. Doesn't say it on the board here anywhere, does it? Hey, Renee, this is a very serious situation. This needs to be sort of evaluated by a mental health professional. This may be some sexual abuse, sexual compulsion, but I'm concerned there's something even more going on. If it were just that, I'd actually feel better about this.
Wow.
But having been with all the abuse and then the predators, and this is all going to, if you don't get some help with this, it's going to make for a series of, life is not going to go well. Are you already having trouble functioning at school with your relations and things like that?
Oh, yeah. Like, with school, it's pretty, like, I used to be a really good student. Now that's true.
Yeah, this is not going to go well, Renee. Please get some help with this. This is how people develop character illnesses, personality disorders, addictions. This is the beginning of all that. And our culture would just go, oh, hey, she's a 16-year-old girl. She's into sex. What's the big deal? She's just into sex.
Right.
No, that's not what this is. This is psychiatric illness. This is mental health pathology being acted out through sexual behaviors. But this isn't good. This can be treated. It's going to lead to trouble if it's not. And we live in this bizarre time when these behaviors are supposed to be, we can't judge, whatever. Yeah, I'm not judging. I'm just saying that's what this is. It's not about a judgment. It's a fact. This is a real problematic situation for Renee, who's suffering and is going to suffer a lot more if she doesn't do something about this.
Yeah, I think she's getting a lot of attention that isn't really the right kind of attention.
Well, remember we talked about early about the attraction to the, I guarantee these guys are all exploitative, abusive predators or whatever. They're exploiting her just the way Dad did.
Right.
More abusive guys. So she's immensely attracted to the guys that are going to make her feel like Dad did, basically.
Right.
It's good times though, right? Okay, here's for Jen. It's Brian. He is 30.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Hi.
Hey, Drew, I wanted to know if you caught Adam's show and what you like.
His morning show? You mean on radio?
Yeah.
I do like it.
Oh, it's good. I get it once in a while on the stream. I work nights, so I don't really get to hear it too much.
It's good, but I'm an Adam fan, though, you know, so I'm an easy on pushover.
Yeah, I'm
but
a
believe
fan.
Me, it's a lot of left-turn signals.
Left-turn signals.
And you don't need to listen to traffic reports weather and traffic.
That's right.
Yeah, I love the show. Jenna, big fan of The Office.
Hey, thank you.
I just wanted to know, with the one-camera, no-laugh-track type comedies, do you think that those are going to be the new age and maybe like the old time, you know, where the laugh-track comedies are pretty much going the way of the dodo?
Well, you know, I think there's so many more things you can do with a single-camera show. I think that the humor is more sophisticated sometimes, and you can be more inventive. And so I think maybe it is. I don't know. I think that the single camera shows are kind of the wave of the future. But there are still some shows on television. They're doing the sitcom format really well. And then there's shows like How I Met Your Mother on ABC that I think are doing a great combination of sort of a single camera and multi-camera show. So, I think you can still do good things with both.
More Jenna Fisher. Hayden, 14.
Hi.
Hey, Hayden, what's up?
Hi.
I just wanted to say that I'm a huge fan of The Office.
Thank you.
Who isn't?
On my iPod and everything.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, you can download it now?
Yeah, you can download it on iTunes.
Oh, my God.
All the shows. They're very popular.
Oh, I'm going there.
What is your favorite, which one's your favorite episode? Do you have a favorite?
Either the Dundies.
Thank you. I love the Dundies.
Yeah, you were pretty drunk looking in that.
I don't ever get drunk, and so I actually did research for that.
Wow.
I went out with BJ Novak. He plays Ryan the Temp on the show.
And strangely, she got drunk.
And I got drunk. And
never happened before.
Well, not often. I hadn't gotten drunk.
It's been at least a week.
It's since probably college. And I went out with him, and every time I had a drink, and then he would check in with me and he'd say, so what are you feeling? How's it going now? What are the things that are going
on? Obnoxious.
Yeah, like we did this for 4 Cosmopolitans.
God.
And we tracked it all. And then I used that on the show. And it was a good time. It was
the show or the research?
The research was great.
Oh my God, what happened?
I think, you know, it was just such a safe environment to be drinking and just sort of like observing it all, like from a sociological standpoint. Like, I found it really interesting. I felt like the drinking just caused of like kind of like a more giggly, extroverted, more touchy version of me. So that's what I did with Pam. I made
just
her.
They were putting roofies into ecstasy here.
That was maybe more in going
Manhattan.
On. Yeah.
Is that it, Hayden?
I was also just wondering what Steve Carell was like to work with.
Oh, Steve Carell is a wonderful, wonderful man. He's a really, really nice man and very funny and loves his wife and children. And he's a great role model to all of us newbies in this business because He does it with class. He's a really, really good person.
And Tom, 21, real quick here, buddy, for Jenna.
Yeah, I was just wondering if Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant still have any input in this.
Whoops.
Oh, if Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant still have input.
Who are they?
They are the creators of the British show. Mm. And they came in when we did the pilot last year, and we got to pick their brain about everything that we could possibly want to know about the show. And they were wonderful, but then they've been very hands-off. We send them copies, and they write us emails and tell us that we're doing a great job. They're really big fans of our show, which means a lot to us. But no, the day-to-day is handled by Greg Daniels. He's the executive producer of our show. He's sort of like the Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant of our show. And
Dan, your question for Jenna or for me? 18?
It was for you.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, occasionally during intercourse with my girlfriend,
yeah.
She tends to just, every once in a while, she'll just like stop and just say, okay, I've had enough. I'm like, okay, that's fine. But whenever she does that, you know, she feels the obligation to finish me off as well. But
okay.
the problem comes into play that when she feels that way, I sit back and let her do her thing, whether it be oral or just masturbation or whatever. But whenever she does that, I really can't ejaculate.
All right, Dan, hold on. We got to take a break. I will come back to your call in just a second. The phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. It's Jenna Fisher from The Office. We'll be right back.
Love Line will be right back.
Love Line will be right back.
Everybody, it's Love Line. The phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. We're solving all of your problems. Jenna Fisher in here, NBC The Office, 9:30 Thursday nights. We're finishing up with Dan, who I'm not sure I really got my head around what Jan's problem was. That your girlfriend would only go so long and have to stop?
Yeah.
And because you were taking too long to reach climax, is that right?
It's a combination of things. Either she already had like 2 or 3 orgasms, or just taking too long.
Poor dear.
Yeah. But then she could have, you know, she only got so much fluid in her, and she can only take so much. But
Right.
And then when that point came, like, she felt obligated, I mean, which kind of makes sense, to finish me off.
I see. And just her sort of mechanically going through it would make it difficult for you to reach climax.
Well, yeah. Just like whenever I'm doing the work, it doesn't take much time at all. But whenever I'm just kind of sitting back and just like letting her perform oral on anything, it just won't.
What do you think the reason for that is?
I actually have no idea.
Hmm. I'm not sure I know exactly what that is either. I know there guys have their sort of preferences this way, and some guys feel very uncomfortable being a recipient.
Just receiving.
Right. And it feels sort of vulnerable and uncomfortable to them and sort of weird. And so it's hard for them to relax and get with it. Other times, it's just that you're so used to Dan doing your own thing. You've been masturbating all these years. You know exactly what you have to do to get where you need to go. And having somebody else do that doesn't quite get you there. So which are you, or both?
Now that I kind of think about it a little bit more, it would probably have to lean more towards the uncomfortability issue.
Okay, all right. And that's, you know, everyone has their sort of preferences with this. Does it evoke any other feelings or thoughts?
Well, it's probably not just a preference, just like, because I know how I want it when, mm-hmm. but more or the less just because I'm like, I'm semi-circumcised, which has always been an issue for me, and it's always been, I always thought of it as extremely embarrassing and something I've been ashamed of.
Why don't you talk to your girlfriend about that? Maybe she has not even noticed and doesn't care. By the way, how much better are you going to like a penis look? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're not like the picture of aesthetic value.
Yeah, I know she doesn't care. She knows and she doesn't care.
All right.
No big deal. I mean, right. I know that, but self-consciously, I'm still...
All right. Well, then why not tell her you don't need to finish when you don't need to finish? You know what I'm saying? Why do you have to
go
through that?
I mean, could he... Does he feel uncomfortable masturbating just with her? Like, maybe she can just snuggle up next to you and kiss your ear or something, and you can do it yourself, and yet you're still sort of close.
Perfect. Michael, 23.
Yeah.
What's up, Michael? You're almost Jenna Fisher.
Dr. Drew, I had a question for you.
Yeah.
I want to know how a guy can produce more ejaculate.
Jenna, any answers?
I'm curious as to why.
That's the more important question here.
You want to produce more.
Most guys are trying to clean it up a little bit.
Yeah, but when I have intercourse with my girlfriend or she's giving me oral sex, when I do come, it's never that much. And
who cares? Why is that important?
Why she likes it.
How do you know?
Because she says so.
She what, wonders why you're not producing more?
Well, she likes it when I come all over.
Hmm. But really? Maybe she likes it because there's not very much of it. Maybe. You know? And maybe she's freer to like it because it's not so much and so messy.
Always look on the bright side, Jenna. Way to go.
We watch a lot of porn together, too.
Yeah. I don't think women typically like that.
No, I mean...
Well, I've done some research on how to produce more, like some... Like, the internet is said to, like, drink a lot of water throughout the day.
Michael, please, cut it out. Stop. Are you kidding me? Of course, if you're better hydrated, more fluid comes out of you, maybe by a couple cc's. But you produce what you produce. If you want to produce a little more, maybe ejaculate less frequently. You know, there's a little bit of buildup of fluid with time. And maybe delay ejaculation. In other words, if there is fluid built up during stimulation, you'll produce a little more. So take your time getting to climax. But beyond that, this whole question is sort of BS. This is what you think she wants.
Are you kidding me? Make this request?
No way.
You want to surprise her.
No. Surprise. No way, Michael, that she requests this. You watch a lot of porn. You want to do this.
Yeah.
I have a woman here telling you, Jenna just says, what? Confusing. Maybe it's just the fact that you produce so little that she actually allows you to do this.
That's probably true.
Do not think what you see on pornography has anything to do with the human female.
No.
Right?
It's true.
Is there really anything in the pornography that's designed for, reflective of, expresses the preferences of females?
No.
Okay, maybe abuse survivors, maybe. Or maybe women that want to, again, be exploited by the abusive males. There's a little bit there. But for the most part, what would you say?
It's definitely male fantasy driven.
Right.
Okay. When the women are screaming and they're so excited to have that all over them, that is for your benefit, not theirs.
Thank you. Tim, 16.
I had a question for Jenna.
Here you go.
Yes.
Hey, I think I saw the episode, too, and I read also that you were on the 70s show?
Yes, I was.
What'd you play?
I played Stacey Wanamaker.
Yeah, I was just...
Sounds like a That 70s Show name. What'd you do?
I played a bridal shop owner, and Jackie pretends like she's getting married to become my friend, because in high school I was a very popular girl that wouldn't give her the time of day.
Oh, how interesting.
Yeah.
I was just basically wondering how it was to work with that cast. They all seem like really nice people. I was just wondering...
Yeah, you know, they are really nice people. It's an interesting thing because they were all really, really young when they became famous. And you never know how a person's going to react to that. But I have to say, they all were very well adjusted. And at the end of every taping, the entire cast, every single cast member, goes out into the audience and signs autographs for audience members for 30 minutes. And I thought that was one of the coolest things I've ever seen in the business. Like everybody, Ashton Kutcher, everyone goes out there and signs autographs.
That's a cast I've known in this show since they started. They came around here, and Wilmer and Mila still come around quite a bit.
Oh, yeah.
And they are two of the nicest, most humble, grateful, which is really what's nice about them.
Yeah.
They have such gratitude for what they've been able to do. And both of them spend a lot of their time and effort and money taking care of their families.
Yeah, they were the two that I had my scenes with. And so I spent most of my time with them, and they just were... nice, normal people.
Really. And Mila, I see all the time. In fact, Mila got... I'm a voice in The Family Guy. I play Chris's dermatologist. So a triumph for me. And Mila was very much instrumental in helping me get that. So I have props. And Filmer's been a very a friend of the show for many, many years.
Yeah, he's very funny in real life.
Okay, Tim?
All right, cool.
All right, take care, buddy.
Thanks.
This now is William, 18. You're on with Jenna Fisher. William, what's going on?
Hi, Dr. Joe, I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I want to know, what's the difference between herpes and genital warts?
They are both viral illnesses. Warts is causes warts, you know, like a wart on your finger,
mm-hmm.
or nothing. Sometimes there's nothing visible there. Certain of the wart viruses are responsible for cervical cancer. And for men, it tends to be no big deal, although, some of the wart viruses are associated with anal cancer if they're getting around to that side. Herpes is a herpes virus, and it causes ulcers that are painful and itchy. When you get the initial infection, oftentimes it's like a flu syndrome you get first, and it comes and goes. The wart virus kind of burns itself out with time. Usually those that stick around are the ones more associated with the cancers. Herpes virus recurs. The frequency of outbreaks can be every couple of weeks to every month to every, many, many years. Herpes 2, as time goes along, herpes also, I should say, there's obviously herpes 1 and herpes 2. Both herpes type 1 and type 2 occur on your mouth and on the genital with pretty much equal frequency, and both kind of burn out with time. The frequency of the outbreaks are less, the amount of viral production is less, the infectivity is less. And the herpes virus can be reduced in terms of its transmissibility with medication.
But can either be treated, though, or not?
That's what I just said. I guess I was speaking some other language.
I was just wondering, though, like if left untreated, how can you treat it, though? Like, with pill, injection, or what?
Like I just said, there are, with time, the herpes virus does decrease in terms of amount of viral production and frequency of outbreak, and there is medication that will decrease that further and decrease transmissibility.
But there's not like a pill you take where there's a cure.
None of these things are curable. They're just controllable. And they tend to kind of burn themselves out with time. Let's see here. This is now Stefan, 15.
Hey, Drew.
What's up, buddy?
Hey.
Hi.
Hey, how you guys doing?
You're on with Jenna Fisher. What's going on?
I don't know if you guys remember, but when you and Adam were still doing the show, I called in and I was talking to you guys for like 30 minutes. About
what?
When I was in the car accident, I had a laceration on my liver, and I kept going back and forth about the doctors, whether I could play football or not, and you guys made me do that King's Missile song, Detachable Penis.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, the flak jacket thing that you told me to try out, it really worked. No injuries.
Flak jacket for football?
Yeah.
Good.
You guys pushed me towards that because I went to the doctor and I brought it up and they agreed, I could try it.
Great.
Yeah, but it just worked wonders. And they also ordered me a jacket that I could wear for baseball that really worked.
Great. Congratulations.
Yeah. Wow.
But, outstanding.
I kind of am in a tussle right now.
Yeah, what's going on?
I don't want to say any names, but I have a friend that I've known since second grade. And he's like my brother. He lives right next door. We're really good friends. And he has a sister, a year younger than us, that, we're like brother and sister too. But I was at their house staying the night about 2 weeks ago. And no one was up, and it was just me and her watching TV, and I don't know what it was, but, we didn't have sex, but one thing kind of led to another, and it was kind of weird for me because, I've known him for so long, and, his dad's like a dad for me and all that stuff, and no one over there knows except for me and her.
Well, why don't you just knock it off, so no harm, no foul. If the boundary issues are getting a little overwhelming for you and it's kind of weird because you've known them, they're all so close that they're almost familial, you're going to create some trouble if you keep going down that path. Don't you agree?
Yeah, I mean, unless they're like
really
a love relationship has developed. And,
right.
You want to probably then
worth
be honest
it,
with
yeah.
all those people and
right.
date like normally date. Don't just go over and have sort of these rendezvous.
Right.
Because that's going to be worse.
85 words a minute, 90% accuracy. Is that you?
Yeah, I can type 85 words a minute.
How did that happen?
I had to take typing in high school because I went to a girls' school, you take typing.
Now this was a Catholic school?
Catholic girls' school.
But it was not the one your mom taught at?
No, my mom taught at a Catholic grade school.
Was all single-sex education a good thing?
Yes, I think absolutely.
Why?
I would really like for my daughter to go to an all-girls
school.
Why? I was very shy and introverted and somewhat withdrawn in school. And
do you think some of that was that's why you were drawn to theaters, or as a compensation for that?
You know, I mean, maybe I had a lot of fantasies, you know. You know, I was always at home. We were just this sort of like musical loving family, like I've said.
Loving, chaotic, bickering.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah, like you said.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, and I forgot what I was saying. What my question was about the typing.
No, why?
Oh, girls' education.
Girls' school, yeah.
Yeah. I remember as a freshman, I got to school and we were sitting in homeroom and they said, we're going to have elections for class president. So we want to get nominations. And I was sitting there. It occurred to me that a woman had to be president of the class. Because there were only women at the school.
Yes.
And it, like, blew my mind. I couldn't believe that, like, a girl was going to be president. And I don't know what it was.
How old were you at this point?
You know, I was, 13, going freshman year.
Wow.
And it was just like I had so given myself over to the mechanics of my grade school and my junior high where the boys raised their hands and the boys were the first to get the attention and they... You know, they're just louder,
more aggressive.
And, you know, I was sort of like a wallflower. And just that moment was like a defining moment for me. And everything changed. And my school was all about, you know, being a powerful woman, feminists. And it was just, I think it gave me the courage that I needed to pursue what I'm doing now.
Was there much chaos amongst the female relationships, or were things kind of more smooth because there weren't any males around? You know, girls kind of click off and stuff a little bit.
Yeah, no, actually, I think that it was warmer than in my public school. Yeah, way more acceptance. But there were definitely groups of people, but they were groups because they had common interests, not because they were against another group. There wasn't a lot of that.
And the feminist stuff you were attracted to, any particular type of feminism or authors?
Well,
it was just the idea of asserting female authority.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. I can't remember this woman who did a lot of work in the area of subliminal messaging, like in advertisements and commercials. I found that fascinating. Mm. And I studied her a lot in school.
Naomi Wolf, was that her? No.
It wasn't Naomi Wolf. It wasn't anybody that like I remember, you know. And Camille Paglia was so like controversial and interesting.
You like that?
Oh, that was so exciting, you know. That the fact that a teacher would give me one of her books to read was...
Which one did you read?
Pretty cool. Oh, I can't even remember the titles anymore. Isn't that awful?
Kelly, 14 for Jenna. What's up?
Hey, I just wanted to say that I'm a big fan of The Office.
Thank you.
We watch it every night, or every Thursday.
Every Thursday, yes.
Every week?
Mm-hmm.
And that's it?
And I was actually wondering what it's like to work with the cast.
It's great. We're all very good friends. We
Kelly's dragging in more of the cast members up and coming on this show, right?
Is what?
Didn't you say you're going to, I mean, Jenna's going to drag in some more of the cast members?
I am. I think Rainn Wilson's going to come in soon. And
next week, I think.
Next week. And I'm going to try to get John Krasinski to come down here with me and we'll talk it
up. Tear it up.
But we do stuff together all the time in our free time. We every week we watch the show together. We rotate houses and we have viewing parties. And,
that's amazing. After spending like 5 a.m. to 9 p.m. together every
isn't
day.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
It's like we can't get enough of each other. Mm. The girl who plays Angela, the sort of stuck-up accountant on the show, she and I have become like best friends. We see each other constantly, and we'll spend the whole day together, and then we'll call each other on our cell phones on our way home from work and chat. So, we all really, really like each other. It's a fun place to work.
This is Kristen, 28. Kristen?
Hello.
Hey, what's going on? You're on with Jenna Fisher from The Office.
Hi.
Hi. I haven't actually got a chance to watch The Office. I'm working all the time.
Oh, wow. In an office?
In an office, yes. But
you'll like the show.
Too. What kind of work do you do?
I do administrative work.
Okay.
And I
wow.
Also, yeah.
There's your beeper. There's a problem at the hospital.
Oh. Sorry about that. Well, my question is I think I have the opposite problem of people who have had issues in the past. I had a very abusive, mentally and physically abusive stepmother, and kind of like the Cinderella story.
Mm. Awful.
And I feel like in relationships, I'm really inhibited, and I like meeting new people. And I'm 28. I should be a little bit more, I guess, I don't know what you'd call it, confident or something. But I just don't even want to like have that first kiss or anything. And I'm getting older. I need to be getting better at dating and trying to figure out how I work through that.
Well, you know, one thing is, I think you should know that you're really lucky that the effects of having that abusive stepmother didn't cause like a destructive pattern in your life. So, you know, rather than put yourself down for being the age that you are and maybe having a difficult time connecting with people, the good thing is that you didn't become self-abusive and destructive. So that's a real positive.
Or did you have a phase like that?
I didn't. I've never, I guess because I always heard her talking to her friends that I was going to be a tramp and that I was going to be into drugs, that I always worked really hard to make sure that never happened. And I've always been kind of more of a goody-goody. And because I've never done drugs, I've never tried any drugs. I didn't drink until I was 21. I had a boyfriend all through high school, and I did have a sexual relationship, but it wasn't really what I would think. It was just sex. It wasn't really like a connection. It was very dull. And
I'm very fearful that you're going to go down that bad boy path, because that part of you that's not being expressed is going to be attracted to a bad person, because that's the only way that bad part of you is going to feel able or free to present him herself.
Well, yeah, how do you?
I've avoided all bad relationships. I don't get involved with someone who has done a lot of drugs or is doing them presently, or has.
I'm not saying necessarily addiction. I'm just worried that that in order to feel sexual, you're going to have to be with somebody that sort of makes
aggressive.
That whatever that part of you is that you're hiding and you feel so ashamed of that is sexual, for it to come out, you're gonna have to be with that kind of person. That's a concern.
So how do you find some safe ways to do that? Like what are some safe ways?
Well, again, I think she sort of put herself in a conundrum. The reason I'm so fearful it's gonna happen is that she's going to find a guy like that, and that's what's going to create enough attraction that's going to pull her out of this sort of funk that she's in, where she mm-hmm. can't. And I think the only way that she's going to avoid that happening is learning to date and enjoying spending time with people and having a more balanced approach, rather than waiting for some overwhelming attraction to pull you out of this passivity.
Right.
You understand, Kristen?
Well, I have a harder time going on a date if I don't feel like I'm attracted right away.
See,
right.
This is that thing.
To make that kiss when I know it's not there.
Right. I suggest that you date a lot and you learn to just spend time with people. Don't worry about the sexual piece and the physical piece, and try to just open yourself to the possibility of maybe not being overwhelmingly attracted to somebody, but kind of tiptoeing into things where you're kind of attracted. But maybe there's a more balanced kind of feeling going on. Other than that, I'm seeing your. I've got my Carnex goggles on. I'm seeing the future, and it's going to be some guy that is going to be exploitative of you that you're going to be just overwhelmingly attracted to and feel magically sexual with, and the guy's going to take full advantage of that.
Non-sexual way to express that? Like, could she do something that she was too much of a goody-goody to do with the stepmom, like something like dye her hair purple or something like that. Like something safe and non-sexual.
Or go out with a friend and have Manhattans and study your intoxication.
Cosmopolitan.
And study what it feels like to get intoxicated with this in a safe environment.
Like, what are those things that you would never do that don't have anything to do with the sexual thing as a way of releasing some of that?
Kristen?
I mean, I guess that's probably what I haven't found. I haven't been since then, I haven't been completely goody-goody. I mean, I've had times where I've had one-night stands because I feel like I'm a sexual person, but
I know, but
unless I've had some drinks. But I'm not an alcoholic. I can only drink like once a month. So,
right.
And then my sexual relationships are about once a year.
I just feel this fragmentation that, you know, you're either, you know, non-sexual or super sexual, and it's And the sexual part is not well integrated into more complete or sort of whole relationships. I'm just, Kristen, if it can't work it out, that's the role for therapy. That's when therapy really, before you get into something that's not destructive, but is not as healthy as you could get in if you really paid a little attention to things. You're just setting yourself up for it, because like, I can't have relationships. I can't meet anybody. I won't be sexual unless I'm drunk. Unless I'm really, really attracted and I've had this abusive, horrible stepmom, I'm Cinderella. The prince is going to be not so princely, I'm afraid.
Right.
So Jenna Fisher in here. The Office, Thursday, 9:30, NBC. The phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm Dr. Drew. This is Loveline. We'll take a little break.
Loveline. We'll be right back. Please hold.
Hey everybody, it's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Jenna Fisher, you know her from The Office. She is the secretary.
I'm Pam. I'm the secretary on the show.
And she, and I, you know, the whole show, I mean, I know Steve's obviously the main character, but the show to me, it's because I just like you and your character, but it all revolves around you. I'm sure you feel the same way, but it swirls around your desk. It really does.
It does, yeah. I mean, that's my receptionist desk is sort of where everything happens all the time. And even though I'm not speaking it, you know, I'm in it.
Interesting. This is Taylor 70. Well, but a lot of your stuff is just reacting anyway.
It
that's
is.
The comedy.
It is.
Taylor, what's up? You're on Jenna Fisher.
Hey, first of all, I love The Office. I love Jenna. You're my favorite character by far. I think.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, and I found your some MySpace accounts in The Office. There's an account for you,
yes.
your character Pam, and for some other characters as well. I'm wondering if you as actors actually are behind these or if somebody working for The Office does it.
No, it's me. I have a MySpace page as Pam Beasley. And now there are some other fans who have started MySpace pages as Pam Beasley. So there's a few Pam Beasleys on MySpace. But I'm on there. And I don't know how to tell you which one's mine. I hope that by reading my blogs you could tell that I do it. But I personally blog all the time.
About what?
Anything, behind-the-scenes stuff about the show, fun facts, trivia, things, you know, that we did each episode. I take photos and put them up. I have pictures of all of us at the Golden Globes when Steve won. And
how do you have the time for that?
You know, our desks at work have real working computers and the internet.
For God's sake.
So I work something like 50 hours a week, and a lot of that work is background work where, you know, I might be in the far background.
That is awesome.
And so I sit on MySpace, and I post blogs, and I tried in the beginning to write people back if they wrote me, but that's become overwhelming. I just can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
But so I do like frequently asked questions, and every once in a while I'll surprise somebody with a message on their MySpace page, and I love it. I mean, I have one. Angela has one. The guy who plays Kevin, Toby, Meredith, and BJ Novak all have them. And so there are pages for Jim Halpert and Dwight Schrute and Michael Scott, but those are not kept up by the actors. Those are fans. And if you go to my MySpace page, the real characters from the show, the actors that keep their pages, I have them in my, like, top eight. MySpacers would understand what that means.
Top eight friends or something?
Yeah, on your homepage, you can have eight friends that are, like, your top eight friends.
Got it.
And the real people on the show who have pages are in my top eight.
Kelly, 21.
Oh, hi.
Okay.
First of all, I'm kind of nervous, but hi, Dr. Drew. I just want to tell you that you, first of all, have been an inspiration to me since, like, the sixth grade, and I'm going to school to become a psychologist. I want to study children that have been abused and sex behaviors.
Oh, that's cool.
I just wanted to ask you a question.
Sure.
For the past, like, year, I've been having, like, painful intercourse, and I've tried so many different things to, like, relieve it. But nothing has, like, worked fully, and I've gone to the gynecologist different times. They suggested different things, and I'm just wondering if there's something I haven't tried.
Let's get some more history here. Has this been painful only this last year?
Pretty much this last year. I've had it randomly, I guess, other times.
And has this been the same guy the entire year?
Same guy. I've been with the same guy for the past 3 years. And
3 years.
Like,
and then all of a sudden it became painful.
Yeah, I don't know if it's scar tissue or something.
Did you start a birth control pill or Depo Provera?
Birth control. Yeah, I used to take Depo before I dated him.
Mm-hmm.
And then now I'm on the Yasmin pill.
Okay. These Yasmin and Depo and these shots are all, these types of pills and birth control methods are very low in estrogen, high in progesterone, very powerful progesterones.
Okay.
And they can cause dryness and irritation of the vaginal surface and lining. And
okay.
It's very common for there to eventually be painful intercourse and all kinds of burning and things. Is there burning?
There can be. But it's mostly.
Estrogen creams and or a estrogen suppository called Vagifem can be very helpful in this regard.
Okay.
So talk to your doctor about maybe getting some estrogen creams, because sometimes just restoring that down there takes care of the whole thing.
Or
okay.
Is there a better birth control that wouldn't cause that?
Well, it may be, but if this is one that's been working for you, sometimes just adding that cream in takes care of the whole thing. All right?
Okay.
All right.
All right.
But the lubes aren't going to do it, because it's a friability, we call it, or an irritation of the actual lining of the vagina there. So interesting problem.
Wow.
This is John 18.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, John, what's happening?
Question about enlarging or making your penis larger by exercising.
Making my penis larger?
No, not your penis.
Oh, not mine, yours.
Yes.
Okay.
So, like, I heard you can stretch it to make it longer or, like, just lift weights, like light weights, and build it up and build the strength of it. And
lift weight? Well, no, there's no lifting with that. There is a weight hanging thing, believe it or not.
That can make it larger.
Well, allegedly. The lengthening procedure, really the only way to change it is with surgery. And you seem perplexed.
I just, it makes it larger while it's flaccid and then also erect or
it apparently
both?
Does. That was sort of my question too. Is like, are you sure? Because the body that swells with blood is sort of a fixed cavity.
Right.
And maybe you're just getting like an elephant's trunk off the tip.
Right, that's sort of my question.
But apparently not. Apparently there is also some lengthening of the corpus cavernosum. But the reality is it's not much. And the only way really to change things is to have a surgery. And with the main surgery that's being done is one where they cut the ligament that holds the suspensory ligament that holds the penis to the pelvic bone. So they dig in, they cut, actually scrubbed in on one of these surgeries, they cut that, then they have the penis suspended by a weight for a few weeks and that kind of pulls it out from there. Then they peel the skin down and wrap in cadaver tissue, basically looks like a big Pop-Tart, adds about another 30 inch or so around the outside. It's not. It's pretty gruesome.
Sounds incredibly painful.
Frankenpenis. It certainly is. And my thing, John, is that I have almost, well, rarely heard women complain about being too small. It's usually the complaint is too big. And the guys that are so preoccupied about this are much more preoccupied about their worth. And the phallus just becomes a symbol of that.
Well,
so,
and there's another, like, what'd you say about the weight thing? Like, it stretches it hangs?
It's after surgery.
Oh, after surgery. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and there's another thing. I heard there's a muscle you can squeeze it and you can hold your ejaculation hold it more. So you can.
Yeah, maybe. But John, you're preoccupied about a lot of stuff here. What's going on, buddy?
Wait, what? I don't know. I'm not actually very small, really. Honestly,
No, I'm just saying you're worried about all this these nuances of sexual performance. You're 18. You should be happy if you're just having sex.
Well, you know, I'm a pimp back in the day. I used to,
Back in the day? You're 18 now. When the hell was back in the day? All right, yes, you can. Yes, there's something called Kegel exercises that may, in some men, give them a little more control over orgasmic functioning. Back in the day, for God's sakes. Amy, 18.
Hello.
What's up?
Hi. I've been with my boyfriend for a while. And recently, every time after we do it, I end up crying for some reason.
Come
I don't know why.
And before, recently, there was never that problem?
Not really, because it wasn't that often.
How long have you been seeing him?
Like a year and a half.
And when did the crying start?
A few months ago, like 2 or 3 months ago. And then usually nowadays, I can only do it if I drink.
Uh-oh.
So, wow.
Like, I just try to avoid it, like, I don't want to do it anymore. And I usually, and when I'm doing it, I kind of like, I'm not present. Like, my mind's somewhere else.
When you cry, like, do you have thoughts? What are you thinking when you cry? Is it just like an overwhelming feeling or do you have thoughts?
It's like an overwhelming feeling. It's not like a memory or a thought or anything. Specific.
And what's the feeling?
I feel almost like I'm used. Like, that's all it's for. Even though he's like a really good boyfriend. Like, he's really good. But I don't know. It just feels, I feel used.
Well, I'll tell you one reason that this kind of thing can evolve is this relationship sort of wrapping up. You're not involved in this relationship, and so it feels empty. And at your age, 18, sometimes it's a sexual relationship, maybe one of your first sexual relationships, maybe even your first love relationship, you really don't know the cues that let you know this thing is over. In fact, you deny it. You can't imagine living without this person. And so usually these early relationships will go on often years past where they should, merely because you cling to this or afraid of being without it and don't know how to wrap it up. When in fact, the same relationship, fast forward 5 years, would last about 3 months and then you'd get on with it. So I'm suspicious that's what's going on here. Or there's a trauma history that's finally coming to the surface. So which do we got here, Amy?
I think a little bit of both. I think mostly the second one because I was molested as a child when I was like 9 or 8.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a suspicion that I could have been molested when I was really little, but I don't remember at all.
All right, so what are we doing with that? That's got to be treated, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've tried, but it's just very... There's also other things, like my dad being emotionally abusive, and so it's, like, kind of just pushed off to, like, the corner. And I told my mom, and she was kind of blamed on me because I didn't tell her, so...
Classic, right? Classic situation.
Well, I'm not sure, you know, when that happens to you, I think, you know, your mom or your other family members aren't really the people that you can share that with, so I think you need to find, like, a professional person or somebody outside of that family unit to be your confidant.
Remember, one of the reasons the parents push this information away is it's so painful for them to come to terms with the fact that this has been happening and they missed it or they may have participated in some way that it's just overwhelming, and so they push it back on you. And that's sort of a classic reaction. You got to get help, Amy. You know all this stuff is there and it's beginning to manifest in your ability to have stable relationships. Come on, let's go.
Exactly. And then it also happened to my mother and my big sister.
Of course. It's the gift that keeps on giving. And, of course, mom marries somebody or finds somebody that's a perpetrator as well. Amy, you are super smart, right?
Smart?
You're a very smart girl.
I think so.
But, I mean, that's a fact, right? You do well in school.
I used to until last year. I left because I went to an all-girls school and it sucked. I hated it. And I'd left and I got my GED. And I've been working, but I'm going to go back to school.
You're smart, right? You're able to do well in school if you want to.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, you know intellectually what's going on here. It's not like you don't know what's going on. So let's go ahead and deal with it, okay?
All right.
All right, there we go. Thank you. All right, this is Jerome, 25. You're on with Jenna Fisher. What's happening?
Hey, I actually have a question for Jenna. By the way, Drew, we got to get you a MySpace. We got to get that happening.
You know, I was just thinking
about... Yeah, you need to get a MySpace.
I was thinking
I'll
about that.
I'll help you set it up.
Will you?
Yep.
Okay.
I will.
I'm going to show you Pasadena. You're going to show me MySpace.
Absolutely.
My daughter's on MySpace. What's that, Jerome?
Oh, no, I just had a question for Jenna.
Hold on. I'm not done with Jenna yet. But my daughter spends... Hold on. My daughter spends all her time on MySpace, all her time, and all her friends and stuff.
Yeah.
And so to me, it was always a mysterious world, and I'm beginning to understand what it is. But I wish I had the time during the day to kind of sit and blog and work it. I would never have time to sort of participate in it. That's what made me feel bad.
Yeah, that's the thing.
It would just sit there. But I still need to do it.
It's fun.
Yeah,
it's
you're
fun.
Right. Need to do it. All right, John, what's up?
Oh, no, I have a question for Jenna. Steve Carell seems like a very funny guy. We all know he is.
Yeah.
Is he always on, or, I mean, is there a time where he's Mr. Quiet, or he just seems
he's
funny constantly?
Right, no, he's not one of those comedians that's always on. He's actually a very regular guy. So if you met him in real life, he would be probably more interested in finding out about you and asking you nice questions about your family and discussing, you know, the interesting, funny things that his kids did that day, the way sort of all people like to talk
normal
about themselves.
Normal people.
Yeah.
How many kids does he have?
He has two. He has a little girl and a little boy.
How old are they?
Annie is 4, and I think John is 1.5.
Oh, my goodness. So he's in it.
And then another question. How close are you with the guy who kind of has a secret crush on you on the show?
John Krasinski?
Yeah.
We're very close. We're very good friends.
That's
very
cool.
Good friends. He and I
have great chemistry, so that's why I figured you must hang out.
Yeah. Yeah, we do. You know, he and I, we both came up in the business together. We had similar backgrounds when we met at the audition, and we were rooting for one another to get the role. And so we have kind of a bond because
of that.
Had
you been on other shows together?
No, we hadn't. But, I mean, I didn't know him before the audition process, but the audition process was a very long one, and we had similar backgrounds. We'd only had sort of the same work experience. We'd each been on a pilot that didn't go. We had each guest starred on other TV shows, and this was both... For both of us, it was our first series.
Very interesting.
And so we bonded.
The Office is on Thursdays, 9:30, NBC. Also, Slither coming out March...
31st.
Wide release. And
wide
then,
release.
And then Lolly Love is coming out on DVD March 6th?
March 7th.
March 7th.
My birthday.
I beg your pardon.
Comes out on my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
1-800-LOVE-191 for Jenna Fisher. I'm Dr. Drew, and we'll be right back.
1-800-LOVE-191. Love Line. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody, here we are on Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Jenna Fisher in with us tonight from The Office. This is Garrett, who is 20. Garrett, what's going on?
Hey, I actually went surfing earlier today, and when you put on your wetsuit and you jump in the water, like, sucks everything, like, together, and my wetsuit's a little loose, and it, like, sucked up on my grind area. And then I got out, and everything was fine. I get home, and I'm just chilling back. And I don't know, I'm like sort of feeling around, dude, and one just doesn't feel like it's right. It's like not, I don't know, it's a little bit further up than the other one, like.
Does it hurt? There.
Yeah.
Is it painful?
Right in the inside of the groin.
Still hurts now.
Yeah, it still hurts now.
Just out of curiosity, how much pot did you smoke before you went out on that on the surf this morning?
I don't know. More like after, but yeah.
Some gnarly spleef, dude. Gnarly.
Yeah, for sure.
Something about pot is it makes you lose your laugh. Laughing to become.
That's true.
I don't know what the hell it is about the drug that does that, but boy. All right, Garrett, we'll let you off the hook on the pot thing. Here's the deal. You can cause some serious injury to that area. You can rupture a testy. You can fracture it. It makes you like, you know how a hard-boiled egg will crack open?
Wow.
You can do that to your testy. It doesn't sound like that's what you have because there's a lot of swelling and exquisite pain then. But sometimes a good sort of wrap on that area and you can get swelling of the spermatic cord and sort of inflammation going upstream. And I bet that's the case. But if this is still painful, here's what I want you to do tonight. I want you to wear tighty whities. Okay. I'm serious because that gives support and it helps the lymphatic outflow. And if you're still having pain in the morning, I want you to see somebody called a urologist. Okay.
Okay. Cool. Thanks.
All right, buddy. All right. Take care. And someday that pot, you got to deal with that pot issue. Okay. Just remember these words. I know you're not ready yet. God knows it's too important to him now. Bree, 21. What's up? You're on with Jenna Fisher.
Hi, Jenna. Hi, Drew.
Hi.
Hey, I was calling because of my boyfriend. We've been dating for about a year, and his penis is curved at the end, just the end. Like, it doesn't tilt or anything. And I wanted to...
Hang on. You mean like a hockey stick?
Yeah, kind of.
So it's not a curve. It's like at the tip. It's just pulled across.
It's sort of bent at the tip.
Bent.
It's bent down. And he thinks it's because of the way he used to masturbate when he first started, when he was a child. And I don't know
child.
If there's something wrong with him.
Well, the fact that he masturbated as a child makes me wonder. But
well, no, not as a child, but like 14, 15.
When he really got good at it.
Yeah.
The pulling at the tip stuff, more often than not, is actually a complication of circumcision.
Oh, really?
Because, you know, that's where they're doing the circumcising. And if the scarring sort of pulls it to one side, you get that kind of pulling down of the head.
Hmm.
And that is something that sometimes they might fix surgically, but it's usually not caused by masturbation or trauma.
Huh.
Okay?
Okay.
If he's interested in doing a sort of a non-surgical, you know, maneuver that he can do on his own, if this is something called Peyronie's disease, which is, again, a plaque that forms and pulls it to one side, it's not a circumcision-related thing, that sometimes will get better with, say, 800 units of vitamin E every day. You can try that. Michelle, 19.
Hi. I was just listening, and I heard about the guy that was talking about making his penis larger, and I was wondering if there was a way to make your vagina tighter. Like, does squeezing it really work? 'Cause, like,
squeezing what?
Your vagina.
Like muscle exercises?
Yeah, like that.
Right. You know, I'm going to say I'm a girl and...
No. Really?
And I went to college and...
really?
Yeah.
This is getting more and more interesting.
And this is, you know, this... I don't know if this is a myth, but there's, you know, this rumor about these exercises that you can do.
The Kegel exercises.
I guess so. Mm-hmm. And the idea is that you can have more muscle control, more vaginal muscle control, and then you can please your partner in various ways because you can do this great muscle tightening thing or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, I just, you know, even if it's true, are you really going to do the exercises as much as you have to do them in order to make it effective? I mean, really, like, I can't even get to the gym to, like, work on my biceps. I just, like, can't imagine that I'm going to really sit around and do vagina exercises.
Well, I mean, I'm assuming, like, you know, squeezing it would probably have some sort of effect, you know? I mean, it's not like you have to, like, buy, like, weights or whatever to, like, squeeze, work out your vagina. I mean, I'm sure if you, like, actually just squeezed it, would it do anything?
I don't know, Dr. Drew.
As much as I'm enjoying this conversation, the answer is... It doesn't matter.
Oh.
Michelle, listen, women put vastly too much thought and effort into what they think is happening to the male during a sexual act. The male is, What's going on in his is a bunch of fireworks going off in his head because you were there without any clothes on. It does not get better than that for him.
Yeah.
This crap you read about in Cosmo and Red Book, forget it.
That's what I'm saying.
Look, forget it. Forget it, Michelle.
No, they write it that way to sell the magazine, to sell the column, to women.
You will never in your life meet a man who calls his buddies the next day and goes, "You will never believe what happened. I was with Michelle last night. She could do 300-pound curls with her vagina. It's incredible the things she could do." No, he didn't care. He cares that you were there, and if you actually enjoyed it, that's what he cares about. If you're able to be excited about being with him, that's it. Now, that is prior to having children.
Well, he's complained about it before. You should make it tighter.
Oh, for God's sakes. I know how men's minds work. You know what that is? You know where he's going next?
What?
He's going the other way. He is building up to trying to make you to engage in anal sex with him.
Yeah. Has he mentioned that?
Well, we had anal sex like once and my butt hurt, so we didn't do it anymore.
But that's where he's going, Michelle. That's where he's going. He's lying to you to try to get you to engage in that again.
Yeah, don't buy into that.
What's that?
That make him kind of gay?
No, it doesn't make him gay, but the fact that you sort of look at it that way is why he was going down that path. This is all BS. He's like, it doesn't feel the same to me. We have to put it around the other side here. That's nonsense. Michelle, come on. You, women's magazines do not understand how men's minds work. Believe me. Okay, forget it.
Men
are so simple. They don't have to write magazines for how their brains work. And you guys overthink it, and you're busy. They don't get happier than just the fact that you're there. And of course, they've got things they got to check off their list, mostly so they can tell their buddies about what they did, not because it's really such a pleasurable experience. So just come on. He's fine. It's all good. He's happy. Don't do things you don't want to do. Assert what you need to get a good experience out of it, and that's all. That's all. Now, let me say this. I did say that was prior to having children. After children, there can be issues, and there are surgeries that sometimes people will do. Though I have found, even then, that surgery is not so much because the males are complaining about the tightness, but the women don't like how they look. And then the guys go, "Honey, it's fine. You're beautiful. I love you." Then they feel not understood, and they get angrier, and they're even less likely to want to be sexual. The surgeries are pretty slick. There's some laser surgeries. I was a very much of a skeptic about vaginal reconstructions, but I'm a little bit of a convert on now because the women are so happy and the surgery is so sort of elegant. But that's not for you, Michelle. That's for people that have had 6 kids. Thank you very much. 1-800-LOVE-191, Jenna Fisher, The Office, 9:30, NBC, Thursday night. Also Slither coming out in March, and Lolly Love on DVD in March as well. We'll be back with Janet right after this.
If you need help,
call Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
Well, that about does it for Loveline once again. Jenna Fisher from The Office, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. I had such a nice time again.
Well, we hope you'll come back soon.
I certainly will.
She Wants Revenge in here tomorrow night. Then soon after that, Joe Rogan, Rainn Wilson, Danny Bonaducci. Oy, a big week. Can't wait to see Danny again. It's going to be fun. And I bet Anna has all kinds of things up her sleeve. Anything else that you can hint at for us coming up down? DJ AM's coming up. What else you got? We have a lot of interesting, Anne's been doing a crazy job booking. But Jenna, we will get together hopefully over the weekend. I want to see you guys in Pasadena.
Show me around Pasadena.
Absolutely, we'll do that. So this is Dr. Drew, and until next time, I'm saying good night and stay well.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed in this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Annie Golden. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.